Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. As we continue on in this book, seeing what the Lord has to say through the Apostle Paul to that day and also in this day. I want to read in your hearing, you can follow along, only two verses, verse 5 and verse 6. Chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let us once again seek our God in prayer. Our blessed God in heaven, we turn to your word now. And as we turn to your word, we expect you to speak to us from it. And so, our Father, though a man's voice will be heard, we ask that you would speak to us in our hearts by your Spirit. So bless it now, Lord, and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to this portion of the book of Colossians where Paul is closing out his whole message to the church. And we're in this part where he has dealt with some particular things, powerful things all along the way. And Paul is now giving clear direction to the Colossians concerning prayer. He did that in verses 3-4 in this very chapter. And Paul indicated how he wanted them to even pray for him. And so now Paul is picking up, he's given directions to them of the importance of the interaction with non-Christians, or as he states, outsiders. There are two issues that the apostle deems very important to the character of the body of Christ, which falls under the heading of wisdom in dealing with non-Christians. And there's two parts to this very thing, what he gives us. Wisdom in dealing with non-Christians. First of all, wise conduct with outsiders, or we could call the unconverted. And B is gracious speech that adorns the gospel. And Paul gets to give us to us this way. He says in verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Paul has been already teaching us about the whole idea of speech all the way through. And now he comes to this, and remember, he even asked that the brethren would pray for him, that he would be able to speak the way he ought. So Paul now comes, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. He says the first thing he has, there's two main instructions that he gives in this very verse itself. And the first one is, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards the outsiders. In the King James, it is translated, walk in wisdom. But he says, conduct. And what it is saying here, is the word which means walk, literally or figuratively. It means to conduct. The word means to walk and use yourself or put your life in such a way that you become one that is showing wise the way that the man or the woman should live who's in Christ. It means to live or pass one's life, a person's behavior or manner of life. How are you living? What's going on with your life? This is what Paul is speaking of here. How a person lives his or her life. He is telling the brethren how to live their lives before the unconverted. We gather together as the people of God. We're here in a church, and we know how to get along with one another. And it's a wonderful place to come out from the world and to be with your brethren, isn't it? And then knowing that we will live here and go out into the world again. And sometimes when we go out into the world, we wish we didn't have to even interface with those out there. But Paul said it's going to happen in a sense. And so he said how you should use yourself and how you should live before them. He says, conduct yourself with wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, he puts it this way. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Conduct yourselves in such a way that no one will be able to charge you with sin in a lifestyle like that of the unconverted. Paul is saying, as you go into the world, you're those now, you live in a different way. And so therefore, you must show that. And people must see that in you. And notice in this very book, you go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. He says this, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so he says, conduct yourself. So he's saying that. But he is not saying that we should take up some kind of an intellectual way and say how we're going to conduct ourselves. Put up our own limits and our own way we're going to do. But he says, in wisdom. Conduct yourself in wisdom. Here's the first word he gives us this. The word itself means to be wise. To operate with skill. The New Testament means skill in the way of life, practical wisdom, also the idea of sound judgment. Luke 21 and 15, for I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. Here's what Jesus was telling his disciples. You're going to go out and you will go out amongst the people, but none of them will be able to refute what you have to say. Or they will not be able to resist what you have to say because it will be wisdom given for me how you're going to speak. And this is the very thing Paul is concerned with here. But this very letter itself, Paul made the whole idea of speaking very important. It's not something that, you know, we could go and just say any old thing. Paul says this is how we should see it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. What does he say? For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, people call themselves Christians and they act any other way they can want to act. When they're away from the other Christians or they're away from the church on Sunday, they do all kind of things in the world. But Paul's saying here, now this is what I want of you. This is the way you should act. And he's saying this is the way you should live. Verse 28 in the same passage. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Wisdom is a thing that God gives and causes those to be able to actually understand the truth and give the truth to those who are outside. In this third chapter where we are, verse 16, what did Paul say to the church? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with understanding or thanksgiving in your hearts to God. So this is the thing Paul said. First of all, conduct yourselves in wisdom. And he understood that this was going to come from God. It is clear from these passages that this kind of wisdom comes only from God and Jesus Christ. It is the ability to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, this is not us practicing words of Christianity. This is us in a time where we have to talk, we're speaking, and God the Holy Spirit is the one who's given us what we need to say, the appropriate thing to say at the right time. But as we see in this verse, conduct yourselves with wisdom, he says, toward outsiders. Those are the unconverted. Mark 4:11, Jesus speaking to them, and he said to them, to you has been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables. You remember Jesus spoke with parables, and one said, without a parable, he did not teach. And those who were not in the kingdom of God didn't understand the parables. And Jesus said, this is why it's given to them. Because they don't understand. Turn with me to Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, again, he shows the powerfulness of what is being said and basically here. And speaking about those who are the outsiders, he wants you to know and understand that there's a way we speak, and that we're speaking that we see those who are not like us, but yet Paul is showing us we should live in a certain way. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice in verses 12 and 13. But what I have to do with judging outsiders, do you not judge those who are within? And we have in italics here, the church. But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Paul, when he speaks about the outsiders, he's talking about the unconverted. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12. So that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Paul is telling the Christians now at this particular point in this letter, now you're going to live and you live in the midst of those who are outside. They have nothing to do with the church. And in most cases, they don't want to have anything to do with the church. At that time, the Jews themselves was wrangling against the church, want to put every Christian in jail. And even those unconverted who were in other religions, they came against the Apostle Paul when he brought his truth into any particular city. Outsiders, they are not Christians. They are those who are lost. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. And then Paul even mentions concerning pastors and what they must be and what their whole life is like. And he says in 1 Timothy 4 and 12, speaking of the pastors, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need. And Paul in that chapter, as he gives all the commendations of a pastor and what he should be, now he also going to rub shoulders with those who are the unconverted. So he said with him also, it may be so that you will behave properly. Live with wisdom before the unconverted. And he goes, and he says it powerfully this way, and he must, pastor again, and he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Oh, there's a lot of men out there who call themselves preachers. Need to look at this verse, don't they? There's some of them, you hear them, they come on TVs, they already have been falling under the snare of the devil. They build these high, mighty kingdoms. They talk about how much money they earn. And they're fine jets that they fly around with. No such thing. This is not what we're saying here. And so Paul is saying, this is what you should do. And what we should see and understand that every non-Christian is considered to be an outsider, as Paul is speaking of here. They're not members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're outsiders. And this is not putting any damper upon them or speaking down to them, but they're not in the kingdom of God. They're outsiders. The Jews hated the Christians and tried to get them thrown into jail or killed. Gentiles derided Christians, saying that they were the inventors of false religion. Therefore, Paul is instructing the brethren how to be prudent when speaking to the unconverted. They must behave themselves wisely when interacting with unbelievers. Paul is making it clear that the life of the brethren will also attract the unbeliever into the faith. Peter gave good instructions on this note. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. He shows us clearly what he's speaking of, what Paul is speaking of here. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verses 13 and 16, notice what Peter says as he writes to the brethren. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidations, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope, for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Then he goes on, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ, will be put to shame. Peter is saying the same thing that we see here. Paul is saying that this is the thing you need to do. Conduct yourself with wisdom. And he said it was those who are the outside. But he goes on and he says, and they're making the most of the opportunity. Making the most of the opportunity. In the King James, it says redeeming the time. And NIV, making the most of the opportunity. Really, what it is making the most is saying here is the, basically what is the idea. This phrase is interpreting one Greek word, redeem, or redeeming, which means to buy out of, redeem from. You're going and you get it and you bring it out to yourself. Paul, speaking of our redemption in Christ in Galatians 3 and 13, says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And this verse, the thing being redeemed is the opportunity or time, meaning redeem the time by the prudent and blameless conduct or making the most of the opportunity. Paul made it clear that the idea here, what he's speaking of, that it, the whole picture here, taking advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. Here's what Paul is concerned about. Redeeming the time. In other words, Paul is saying any situation we're in is not just a nothing situation. Look at it as an opportunity. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Ephesians 5 and 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. In verse 16, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. You know what? People live any old kind of way today. And even when we were young Christians, didn't know, and I don't mean young in age, but young in the faith, didn't know certain things. We probably carried ourselves along in a way that we weren't actually showing or displaying the power and the might of the gospel in the way we were living. And so he's saying here, we should do that. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time. Because the days are evil. We sung a hymn. We're going to be with the Lord one day. We don't know what day that is. But he says, make the most of it. But then he goes on. In verse 6, he adds to it. He said, notice what he says. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. And then he says, this is what's going to happen in a lot of opportunities that we're going to have. We're going to be speaking to people. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. The apostle gives two main points of his instruction on this manner of speech. First of all, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Paul is telling the brethren that their speech must be gracious. Speech here, the word is to speak intelligently. It applies to the act of speaking and what is spoken. Let the way you speak and what comes out of you be of a certain quality. Notice Paul spoke much about speaking in this very book here. look at this third chapter that we are in. Notice in verses 8 and 9. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Let not these kind of things come forth from you. He said, this is what should not be in you. Notice verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old man with all its evil practices. In verse 16, notice, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody or thanksgiving in your heart to the Lord. And so this is what he said. All that comes out of you should be wise speech. It should be that which is gracious. It should be that that shows and points to who you are and what Christ is. But Paul uses the word here, let your speech always be. Always. And that is a simple word for us to understand. At all times and all occasions, when you speak, or when speaking to family members, friends, neighbors, fellow Christians, unconverted, work associates, and so on, let your speech be gracious. A Christian should never say those things which hurt or harm someone. But he says always. But then he puts another part onto this. He says, with grace. Or gracious. The word means grace itself. To rejoice. Or that which causes joy for a favor done. That which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor. So he's saying here, it's the gracefulness, the gratefulness, the elegance. It is also refers to a word of speech that is graceful and agreeable. Here Paul refers to speech that is grateful, agreeable, and acceptable. How are you speaking? You're speaking in a way that the person hearing you, Paul is saying, that they hear your words and they can't even come to what you're trying to say because these words have now put up a wall between you and him or you and her. And so they don't want to know what you have to say. They will not get into what you mean by your words because of the way they're being spoken. Here Paul refers to speech that is gracious. Luke 4 and 22, and all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Where did these words come from? Ephesians 4 and 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification according to the need, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Paul is saying here that their speech must always be pleasant to the ear, hearer, pleasing to the one who is speaking to. Paul then adds flavor to the grace he is speaking of, as though seasoned with salt. Jesus spoke of those who he called the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13, and that if salt loses its flavor, it is no good, Matthew 9:50. Salt is good, but if the salt does not become, unsalty, with what will make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Salt was used to preserve and to flavor foods. Jesus' word to the disciples was calling them the salt of the earth. They was that very thing that's going to flavor and preserve society by bringing out of them those who would be alive in Jesus Christ. Linsky put it this way, salt is neither the wisdom nor the graciousness we are to use. It is the wholesomeness of what we say. He continues, we need not introduce the power of salt to prevent decay, only its calmness use for making good the food. What is used for? Meaning that the Christian's conversation must have the quality of purity and wholeness in as he or she speaks. Paul is talking about the kind of speech that has the quality of fresh spiritual wisdom and earnestness. This kind of language operates from God's grace in the heart. It will not be speech that is abusive and vindictive, unkind and degrading, especially to those who are the unconverted. Sometimes it's easy for a person to say, that man or woman over there, they're sinners. You know, I'm just going to tell them right what it is. And we go in harshness about them. You're going to die and go to hell and then this and that and the other thing. And that person, when they tell them, he or she then closed down. You don't hear nothing what we're saying. So he says, let it be seasoned with salt. But there is another reason for the kind of speech Paul is describing here, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So Paul said, now it reflects upon us. Everyone is not the same. Therefore, each person must be treated as an individual, meaning that the right words must be spoken at the right time to the right person. This will mean that Christians may rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide him when he is speaking. They must look to God and ask God to help them in that. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And notice how we find here with the Lord Jesus. Here, Christ is saying that what's going to happen and how people are going to look at us and what they will do. It was in that day. And he says in verse 19, but when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And so here, Jesus is telling us what man does is not just what we see him doing at that particular time. It's just not man deciding what is the best way to talk to someone. No, it is relying on the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God will give what is needed, and he will be the one who will direct us in all we have to say. Also, Jesus mentions again, you need not turn there, Luke chapter 21. And he says in verses 14 and 15, he says this, so make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. Don't practice what you're going to say to defend yourself. He says, but you will be betrayed. I'm sorry. For I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or to refute. Christ is saying here, he is going to speak through you. He's the one who's going to give what needs to be said. And therefore, you will find at that particular time, you will have all that's needed to be said. And he says this, and notice as you go back, he says, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You see, Paul is not saying, here is a blanket statement of Christianity, or how you talk to the unconvertible. Use this at every time. You know, we kind of did that in our young days, didn't we? We had our pet verse that we would give. But Paul is saying, each person is different. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to give you what you need to actually speak to that particular person. And that's the way Paul ends it, each person. People are different, and the word spoken must be formed for that particular one who is being spoken to at that time. And so it is the Lord himself who would give us. So Paul gives us this in this these two verses. We are going to be now before the unconverted. We're going to contact him. We're going to be even before our own family members. And so Paul is saying this very thing here. What is that for you and me today and how we should live with this? First of all, by way of application, how we must live as Christians, he's telling us. He is telling the brethren how to live their lives before the unconverted. He says in that, conduct yourselves in wisdom. We have seen that the wisdom spoken here is not man's wisdom. It is the wisdom that comes from God. Therefore, we must pray that God will be with us and guide our tongues when we are speaking the truth of God. When we speak into those who may not be the unconverted, let us make sure that we are relying on the Holy Spirit. I'm quite sure you've done that. There's times I can remember in my life, the situation is at hand, and I say, Lord, give me words to say. Lord, guide my mind right now. Help me what to do in this situation. This is what Paul is saying. Not just blurt out any old thing. But Paul also said in there, not only that, how we should speak, he's but making the most of the opportunity. There are many who do not believe the gospel message of the truth of Jesus Christ as the Savior of mankind. Time is short. The Bible tells us in Jesus, we met up there, that day is coming when all things are going to be turned upside down. Time is short, and Christians should take every opportunity to spread the gospel. That's what we should be doing. How long are we going to be here? We don't know. But we got an unconverted person in front of us. What should we do? Plead and cry out to God that God would help us to speak at this particular time. Not rush right in. Do you believe in Jesus? No? Well, you're going to hell. It unclosed the clam trap. Nothing else is going to get into that person. But if you say, Lord, how do I speak to this person here? It may be a family member, maybe a work associate, or whatever. You're having good relationships to one another, but there's a difference because he or she is outside of the kingdom. And you want to do something to bring the gospel to it. And so you do all you can to bring it in. And so what we're doing, this time is short and something must be done. The idea is not just wait for an opportunity, making the most of the opportunity, not making the waiting for the opportunity, but to buy back, to buy up. That's what purchasing means. That's what it's saying here. To buy the opportunity. In other words, what we do is we're taking control in that opportunity. If this one, God has put this person before us, we should be crying out to God in our heart that the Lord would help us what to speak at this time. And dear people, sometimes he may say, don't say anything. But Paul is saying here, what we should see and understand that they're the unconverted. And we ourselves know that we have been drawn from the world of sin and wickedness, and we're in the kingdom of God. And so therefore we know where we are going. We sung a hymn and talked about what we're going to and how we're so happy and filled with joy in Christ and who we are. What about that man, woman, boy, or girl over there? What do we want for them? Forget about them. They're sinners. No. Not say, well, if this person says something to me about Christianity, I think I'm going to say this, that, and the other thing. No. Buy up the opportunity. May we be the one who have to say something to get the whole thing started. The Lord would let us know if we should go any further with that person. By the way, the person may begin to open up by what he says. Peter says how we should live. He says, so they will ask a reason for the hope that is in you. And that's one thing. A glorious, gracious Christian makes people jealous. Or they make them wonder. You heard me told this a few times, working at a job, there was a young lady came and she began to work with us, and she heard I was a pastor. And so I didn't find out till a year later. She said she wanted to talk to me, and she wanted to talk to me about her soul. But it wasn't that clear, you know, but she wanted to talk to me. And she said, I've been watching you for a year. I heard you were a pastor. I was going to see. She said, now I'm convinced that you are a Christian. And I want to be one. And we sat in the conference room. And God gave me the words to say. A lot of times I'm getting ready to speak to somebody. I said, Lord, help me. Tell me what to say. Guide me in this. I don't want to mess it up. And we wind up, and I didn't do like I was taught in my young Christian days, say this prayer and you will be saved. I told her, I said, look, what you have to do is go to Christ from your heart. Plead to him right now that he will save you. And she did it, and she was weeping. And God saved her. She wind up being a member of Trinity, and she's still walking in the faith right now. Most of you know her. But that's what we got to look for. Buy up the opportunities. Don't just wait, and don't be afraid to speak. But let God put, if he puts us in this place, just think that there's a person here who may not be a Christian. How do we act with this person? What should I say right now? Is this person close to me? We've been working together for years and I have not said anything about the gospel to him and her or their need for Christ, where they're going. No, we don't want to come with a negative aspect. We want to come in a way that will be done. So Paul's saying here, make the most of the opportunity. Here this person is, but we're going to do that by pleading to God, that God will guide us in it. And he says, when that opportunity comes, he speaks about how we should speak, even to the unconverted. Gracious speech that adorns the gospel. We must speak to people in a loving way, making sure that we have a gracious attitude that will invite, not repel, people to Christianity. And then Paul says here, to each person. He's saying that we are not to have a blanket way of speaking to the unconverted or people, but we should have a way when we come, each person we can see what God's going to do with us at that particular time. This means that we must seek grace from God to know how to reach the individual that we are speaking to at any given time. All are not the same. All are not dealing with the same problems of life. All are not caught up in the same sins. So we have to plead to God how to do it. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Yeah, Paul is saying the outsiders, they're those out. They're those who are lost. They're not in Christ Jesus. How do you reach them? Paul is telling us that we should be people who say, every opportunity, I'm going to see if I can buy it up. But these instructions also apply to one another. How we speak to one another as brethren. I mean, you can see that clearly. It's all our attitude and what's going on here. If we're concerned about outside, how are we speaking to those in the body of Christ? Are we speaking with grace? Are we speaking the truth? Are we thinking to give the best thing we can for our brother and sister when we're talking to them? Or are we hiding something and not being real before them? And not only our brethren, how about our family members? Remember, we just came through a part here where Paul dealt with the whole household situation. Wives and husbands, children and parents, slaves and masters. He told them how to get together. We have the same thing. We as husbands have to deal with our wives in such a way that it's graceful speech that's going. Wives the same way. Understanding our roles and doing that which gives glory to the gospel. Because remember, we are living the gospel even before our loved ones, our family members. No one in a house where a Christian lives, unconverted, should say, I know how he is, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. There was a pastor at another church. His family was coming to church, children. They weren't Christian, but they kind of thought they was, you know. And they come up, you know, and saying something about the pastor and who he is. The young man said, you don't know him at home. I do. That's a shame. All of the adornment of the gospel, all the grace of God should just flow through us. And people look at us, and as Peter says, ask a reason for the hope that is in us. And that should be to even the closest one to us. That should be even to our children. But we know all children are not going to be saved, so we can't say that. But we don't know if they're not going to be saved either. So we still are to live before them in such a way that we are doing the gospel. And every opportunity to speak to them, we can come and say it the way Paul says here. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. And this is what we should do. Our words to one another must be filled with grace. Should be words that prove who we are. Words of kindness. Words of love and hope. And dear people, this is what the apostle is telling us. He told the church then, and he's saying that to us also. We have a duty to do, and that is to glorify Christ in our lives and even with our connections to the outsiders and also to them in the kingdom. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, as we look at this passage, we ask you, oh God, that you would help us, give us the precious grace that we need to communicate the gospel to those who are outside, to speak to loved ones in such a way that they can see the adornment of Christ in us and as we carry ourselves, as husband and wives, as children and parents, and Lord God, even as work associates, may it be that they can see it and understand it. And Lord, may it be that we can give to all the truth of what the gospel is, and that there will be some who will come and ask for the reason of the hope that's in us. But Father, most of all, we ask also that you would help us, even as is said here, that we will make the most of the opportunity, that we would look for opportunities to bring the message of Christ to all who are unconverted. So bless this word, O God. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray.